And submission, when it's seen in its right light and not abused, is a beautiful, powerful, essential characteristic of the Christian life. Part of what Peter's saying to us today, if you reject submission, you're rejecting the blessing of God.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. We're thankful that you have joined us here in the middle of our series entitled Hope and Holiness. We've been walking verse by verse through the book of 1 Peter and seeing amazing truths come to life in our lives, in our minds, and in our hearts. And we're praying for transformation even today as we tackle a topic that the world really isn't that fond of. It's the topic of submission. But what we're finding today in the pages of 1 Peter is God's heart for submission, a beautiful picture for us all. What does God really have to say about submission? Well, you'll find out today in 1 Peter chapter 2. Thankful that you've joined us. And here again is our teacher, Pastor Robbie, with today's teaching.
Have you ever been in a place in your time, maybe you traveled, you've ever been in a place, in a country, in a situation where you felt there was no actual law enforcement capabilities when you were there? Like you place where all of a sudden, I remember being in a country in Africa, and we ended up, myself and one of the pastors, Greg, was with me. We ended up in this situation where we were clearly the only Canadians in about 500 people in this place, and we had no idea where we were or what was going on. And I got this feeling right now that we're like sticking out pretty bad right now. And I had this feeling of like, if someone wanted to do something, no one's gonna stop them. And there's no police and no 911 I can call. And there's like, if they want to do something right now, we are at the mercy of whoever is going to do whatever they're going to do. From a kid from Canada for most of his life or all of his life, I'm sad there. I felt very insecure. And at that point, your prayer life went up a lot during that moment as well, right? But it's a very odd feeling to be in a place where you think there is no law enforcement. There is no sense of government. There is no sense of justice. And what does that make you do? It makes you come home and want to kiss a police officer, right? And to hug a law enforcement. In all honesty, the things that we take for granted by the grace, God's telling us, I put them there. It's my grace upon humanity. Systems of government that again, push back the sinfulness. If there was no law, just imagine. Let alone our traffic and our streets. You know the situations across the world when anarchy breaks out and all hell breaks loose. And so God is saying, listen, the systems of government that we see around us, there's a form of God's grace in this. Don't take it for granted. Be thankful. And we are to submit. We are to submit as we are able. Submission is about being subject to authority. Submission is also this, number two, submission, it serves God. Submission, it serves God. And this is a very important point when it comes to understanding biblical submission. So look at verse 15 now. He continues here, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Okay? Now, very critical truth I want to expand on that affects our entire lives here. Verse 15 starts with this, for this is the will of God, that by doing good. Our context, again, is biblical submission. So doing good, as I said, is closely tied to believing in submission. Now, what's undeniable here is what Peter does in verse 13 is he begins a whole section on submission. And we're going to hit this, Lord willing, as we go through this. But it's undeniable. Peter starts to unpack. Hey, church, hey, men and women, if you love Jesus Christ, you're going to love submission. And here's what it's going to look like, and you're going to believe God's going to bless this as you go through it in your life. Because in verse 13, we read what he said, be subject to every human institution for the sake of the Lord. But look at verse 18. In verse 18, he says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. So he's carrying on this theme. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, wives, be subject to your husbands, that you may win them over without a word as they see your holiness, as they see your conduct. We're getting there in the second week week of January. I can't wait. A message on wives, a message on husbands. Call all your friends. It's going to be awesome, all right? It is. It's going to be very powerful. What does it mean for wives to subject themselves to their husbands? You have to wait till January, all right? We're getting there. But also in chapter 5, it says, young ones, be subject to your elders. So we see here the area of submission as citizens in a nation, as employees with our bosses, as wives within our marriages, as people who attend a church under the elders. It's a very big deal to God. And submission, when it's seen in its right light and not abused, is a beautiful, powerful, essential characteristic of the Christian life. Part of what Peter's saying to us today, if you reject submission, you're rejecting the blessing of God. If you defy submission, you are pushing away in some form the great blessing of what God wants to give you within your life. Submission before the Lord and submission in the Lord is an extremely beautiful characteristic from the Lord. But this is a principle, loved ones, we got to admit, this is a principle that goes so strongly against the passions of our flesh, as we saw from last week. But the principle is this: God blesses humble submission. You cannot refute that within 1 Peter. I read this cute little story this week. There was a boy who was disobedient to his mother, so his mother told him to go sit in a chair in the corner for his discipline. And after a while, the mother came up and asked him, "Have you learned your lesson yet?" And the boy, with a look of defiance, he replied, "I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside," right? And that is a good characteristic of what you need to see this in your life. I need to see this in my life. We will not naturally submit, whether it's to authorities in our society, whether it's to teachers at school, whether it's to our parents at home, whether it's within our marriage, whether it's to the elders in our church. We will not naturally submit. We will naturally rebel. And rebellion, of course, will be used in great, great ways to damage so many different lives. You know, we live in a day where submission to authority has never more been railed against, you can argue. David Guzik said this. He said, since the 1960s, there's been a massive shift in the way that we see and accept authority. Look what he says here. He says this. He says, citizens do not have the same respect for government's authority. Students don't have the same respect for teachers' authority. Women don't have the same respect for men's authority. Children don't have the same respect for parental authority. Employees, not the same respect for their employer's authority. People are not respecting the police's authority. The Christians no longer have the same respect for the church's authority. And all of those, in some part, are very true within our society. Now, some of you might read that, and you might, yeah, but the abuses. I understand that. But I think what we're doing in our society, we are perilously close to throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And that's why passages like this are so very important. Always remember this: the opposite of accepted authority is anarchy. The opposite of accepted authority is anarchy. And the moment you taste anarchy, please understand this, the moment you taste anarchy, you are dreaming of true authority. Think of the nations that have broken out into anarchy over the last couple of decades. I mean, just think of the pictures we saw even this year, even from Egypt. Think of the levels and how pushing towards complete anarchy, where there is no rule, there is no authority. Think of Rwanda in years past. The absolute devastation and horrific evils that have occurred when authority has been tossed to the side altogether. The moment you're in anarchy, you are dreaming of being in a place where there's accepted authority. That's why the Lord has set it up this way. God knows what he's doing. But now more than ever, and we have homes that are approaching or are in anarchy. We have marriages that are approaching or are in anarchy. We have children who are approaching or are living in anarchy. We have churches holding no sense of authority that are moving towards anarchy, whether they know it or not. Nations are moving towards anarchy. And anarchy, I think, in some ways, could be the greatest judgment God can give us, to let us have our own way without any sense of protection and guidance from him. But see, this becomes the beauty of biblical submission. Biblical submission, you say, you know, I understand my rebellious nature, but at the heart of it, I want to trust the Lord. And I'm going to believe that my flesh is wrong. You know, one of the verses that stood out to me was related to King Saul, when King Saul was defiant against the ways of the Lord. And 1 Samuel 15 says this: "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." The Bible right there equates rebellion as with the sin of witchcraft. Now, for sure, rebellion will make you feel good for the moment, but it'll destroy you for the long term. Rebellion always feels good in the moment, doesn't it? Because who's in control when you rebel? You are, so you think. But the fruit of rebellion will be disaster upon our lives. It will never work out for the good, especially in the context of what God is saying to us right here. Some children in the room right now. There's some children right here. You know, whether you're a teenager or whatnot, everything within you says, my parents don't have a clue. Everything within you says, I don't want to honor my father and mother. Everything within you says, I am my own person. I will do what I want to do. I will not respect. I'm telling you straight from the word of God. If you disrespect, if you fail to honor, if you rebel against the authority that God has placed over you, you're like, you know my parents, you don't know my parents. I do know my God though. You trust that you will do what God says, or you will find yourself in a very difficult place. See, we rebel, we think we're helping ourselves, we're hurting ourselves. There are marriages here right now. You are not trusting God's way. You will hurt yourself. There are people attending this church as it relates to the leadership of this church or some other church. A refusal to trust in what God has placed. This is not without discernment. This is not without opening the word. This is not without discussion. But pure rebellion is something that will damage us all right away. Well, back to our text. Look at verse 15 again. Verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So once again, notice this. Notice this, loved ones. It's our behavior as believers that becomes one of our most powerful witnesses as believers. Our behavior impacts our witness as believers. Notice our holy conduct silences the accusations of fools against us. And the fools here are unbelievers. Remember, the church here that Peter's writing to, they were accused of all sorts of things. We talked about this last week a bit. They were accused of everything from cannibalism to disrupting the social order to going against the ways of society. So Peter's like, he's like, the worst thing you can do is to make it easier for people to accuse you of things. Live as law-abiding citizens. Show holiness in your life so when the accusations come, again, they won't stick. That's the power right here. Don't give fodder for the cannon of unbelievers to come against Christianity that much more. And that's why one of the few things that frustrate me more is when you have believers acting like buffoons. And they walk around claiming that they know Jesus Christ, but then they walk around this world and they are harsh, they are unkind, they break the law so everyone can see, they cheat on their taxes, shady business deals, whatever it is, they are destroying the witness and they're only ramping up hypocritical behavior, all these things, a lack of godliness, a lack of holiness, and they're just giving unbelievers ammunition to shoot down the church once again. Satan loves that stuff. He's taken that to the bank for centuries. And we can't control what false believers do, but we can control what true believers do. That's us, I pray. And we're called here that our holy conduct would be such a way when the accusations come, they will not stand. That's why Peter gave us verse 15. That's why Peter gave us verse 16. Look at verse 16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. What's the point here? Believers in Jesus Christ have been set free. Amen? We are free indeed, the Bible tells us. So we are to live as though free. What does that mean? We've been set free from sin. Praise the Lord. We've been set free from Satan's grasp. Praise the Lord. We've been set free from death. Can I get an amen? All right? So as believers in Jesus Christ, we are alive. We are to live as such. We are to live as though we are alive and free in Jesus Christ. What Peter says, though, don't allow the reality of your freedom to become an excuse to not be obedient here on earth. So you follow what I'm saying here. Peter's like, because you're free in Christ doesn't mean you can walk around and break every law you want because I'm free in Jesus Christ, man. I don't have to obey you, politician. I don't have to obey you, police officer, because I'm free in Jesus. He's like, no. If you understand you're free in Christ, then your freedom says I'm a slave of Jesus Christ, which is not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. Freedom in Jesus Christ. You belong to Jesus Christ. You are a slave now to Christ. When you're a slave to Jesus Christ, that's so beautiful, so beautiful. You are a slave to righteousness. When you are a slave now to righteousness, Christ's righteousness, you become more righteous. Submission. And Jesus says, God says, I have put these things in place that you may submit to. So not I'm free in Christ, forget all authority. Actually, I'm free in Christ. Hallelujah. I now submit in love and kindness and godliness to the authority that has been placed in my life. That's the power of a wife in marriage. That's the power of a child within a family. That's the power of a person within an eldership at a church. That's the power within a citizen within a nation. Live as though free, but not as an excuse to sin all you want. You're messing the whole thing up. He says, prove you're actually in Christ that you might live as a child of God bearing the fruit of Jesus Christ. Again, one of the reasons we believe in submission to authorities, because ultimately, this is so key too. Ultimately, look at the end of verse 16. We are servants of God. You see that? And this is so key too, right here. The power of biblical submission is this. Really, submission is not to a political figure or an authority in our society. Really, it's submission to God himself. So that's the argument Peter says, is that you've been saved by Christ. You are being changed in Christ. You are free in Christ. Now submit, because you are servants of Christ. You are servants of God. And that's the secret to biblical submission. Again, as we've talked about already, as I do this, I'm actually serving the Lord. My submission is really in submission to God ultimately, which allows me then to see I am pleasing him as I do this, as opposed to a person. Because we will struggle with submission to human people, but as we see it, it's actually for the Lord and what he says I need to do, then it changes everything. Because a true Christian would love to submit to God, because he is perfect, he's awesome, and he has saved us from death and hell. And so we love him. And that's showing how we submit to him. So this is very important. Now again, let me be clear. Never submitting to the point where we're sinning. We don't go against the commands of God. I want to keep saying that, okay? So there are certain levels of things that we might be asked to do at some point. We just cannot do that. Again, Acts 4, Acts 5, we must obey God rather than man. But as it comes to the things that are clearly what we need to do, so I hate to tell you this, but, and this is a new way of thinking about it, when you pay your taxes, honestly, you are performing a service to God, right? When you refuse to cheat on your taxes and you do it honestly and you're abiding by the laws of the government, you are submitting to the authority that God has placed over you. You are a servant of God in that moment. I'm going to be totally honest about this one right here. I'm just trying to reconcile like speed limits. Just me, right? You know, so I'm not a race car driver, but I'm thinking about this, like these laws. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about it. I've been driving around. I'm thinking about it, right? And I'm like, these are the laws of the land. And there's a form of submission there that we don't go crazy and run red lights or whatever, you know? I'm yesterday driving around, and this morning, there's a police car right there, you know? Come to a full stop at the stop sign, pause for like 5 seconds. You know, and then go, right? And then, but these are the things though, to recognize and just think about it and all the different elements that we place ourselves under. And am I a servant of God? It's challenging me. It's great. Small things and big things. I want you to see this too. Notice verse 16, we are free. What's that? That's our hope. Notice, and now we are to live as servants of God, which is our holiness. You see that? Hope and holiness is everywhere, all throughout this. And where there's hope, there's holiness, and there's submission. All tied together. I just want to make sure that you saw that. Point number three, submission is this. The last one, submission, it bears fruit. It bears fruit. So let's be clear. Submission is a fruit factory. Okay? It won't always feel like it, and it won't always seem like it, but it is. Look at verse 17. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. You're like, these are commands. Yes, they are commands, but notice though, it's the fruit that falls from the tree of submission. It's the fruit that falls from the submission tree. Let's take these one at a time. Notice, first of all, it's the fruit of honor. The fruit of honor is there in verse 17. It starts with honor everyone. Honor everyone. Last time I checked, everyone meant Everyone. What does honor mean here? It means to value. It means to esteem. It means to prize. It means to place worth in. So in our context then, this is the choice to recognize every individual for what they truly are. Every individual is made in the image of God. That's a sense of honor for the child of God, is to see every person at their core, foundationally, is made in the image of God. And remember again, when Peter wrote this, slavery was very real. Millions of slaves throughout the Roman Empire. And at times, not always, but often slaves were treated as things and not people. But here the command is to honor everyone. But for the Christian, what do we know? For the Christian, our beliefs determine our behavior. Our doctrine determines our duty. And it's our doctrine that teaches us every single human life carries immense worth because they are made in the image of God. You might say this, what about criminals? What about awful criminals? I'm supposed to honor them? Well, what I love about this is in our society, we have these values like innocent until proven guilty. That's a form of honor, I believe, taken down from the Bible itself. To say that everyone is worth enough respect and honor that we will think of them as innocent before we declare them guilty. And whether that stays or not, we'll find out as the years go on. But certain ways that we honor, like how do I honor the politician who's a complete joke and a disaster and not credible for anything? Well, I think we have to. How do we honor someone like that in authority over us? I think we pray for them. I think we be very careful what we say about them. I think we consider, is it anger we have or is it sadness? That's a very important distinction. I heard John Piper say that once and I really like that. Are we just angry at what's happening or has it saddened us? I think we honor in a sense when we're saddened, we care at that point, we care. You can think about that a little bit. How do we honor everyone? And of course, our Savior was an incredible example of honoring everyone and honoring those the world rejects. That's powerful. That who the world despises, we are called to honor. I love how many Christian organizations, how many mission agencies, how many world-changing charities have really been initiated on the concept of every life holds value. And the love of the gospel, love of Jesus Christ, we want to see these people loved. It's the principle of honor everyone. It's found in love and it's seen through submission. You know, we have a verse in our home from Philippians 2, and it's kind of the verse that we want to help guide us as a family. And one of the parts of Philippians 2 when it says is, but in humility, and that's a form of submission, count others more significant than yourself. That's honor. I want my family to live in such a way that I'm treating others that they are more significant than myself. That is what the Christian is. I want to teach my children that humility says you deserve my service as I submit to you in a sense, as I love you, as I care for you. That's so biblical. That's so Christian. That's so Christ-like. The fruit of honor, the fruit of love comes next. The fruit of love in verse 17 says, love the brotherhood. Now, it gets a little more serious now because brotherhood is the family of God. Brotherhood, that word literally carries the meaning of born from the same womb. So we like the phrase, I'm a brother from another mother, all right? But as Christians, as brothers and sisters, we are born from the same father. We are shared ancestry in Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters in the family of God. And so there's a not just an honor now of respect, now there's a love. There's a love of choice, very, very important to God. That as we see submission is seen through love. The fruit of submission is love. The fruit of love is submission. And we choose to love. Now remember this, the choice to love the brotherhood is not just for some pastors in our church. If that's the way you're thinking, you are not thinking biblically. Of course, it's the pastor, but it's everyone. It's the priesthood of all believers. Amen? Heard of that before? It's right here in 1 Peter 2, the royal priesthood. It's not just a few pastors. Listen, and here's the power of this. Love the brotherhood. Don't wait to be loved. Go love. Too many people just say, I want to be loved. I want to be loved. I want to be loved. I think the Bible's more clear about go and be a source of love. As opposed to everyone come do it for me, do it for me, do it for me, do it for me. Really? Really? I don't know. I don't know. I see more of take action. And if everyone does that, it's a love fest across the board here, right? Outdoing one another, showing honor, loving each other, love the brotherhood. The fruit of honor, the fruit of love, the fruit of this, the fruit of fear. The fruit of fear. What do you mean the fruit of fear? Well, it says fear God. Verse 17 says fear God. The importance and priority here grows. This is the height of true submission. True submission is understanding I live under the fear of God. Why? Why is the fear of God so important? John Murray says this. He says this about living the fear of love. He says the highest reaches to sanctification are only realized in the fear of God. The highest reaches of growth in Christ, sanctification, are only realized in the fear of God. Why? Why? Well, there's many reasons. In part because Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, time out, time out, time out. Take out the fear of the Lord. What do you just remove from your life? Wisdom. Take out the fear of the Lord from the church. What do you just removed? Wisdom. Take out the fear of the Lord from this country. What do you just removed? Wisdom. No fear of the Lord, no wisdom. No wisdom, you're done. No wisdom, I don't like your chances. No wisdom of God, I don't like how your family's gonna go. No wisdom, I don't think you're gonna be making very good decisions in your life because you do not have the fear of the Lord. That's only one reason why the fear of God is so important. You say, what is the fear of God? It's reverential awe. He is so holy. He is so awesome. I esteem him higher than anything else, of course. I revere him. I submit to him so gladly because he is so holy. He is the consuming fire. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So I honor him. I'm not fear terrified. Oh, I'm so afraid he's going to hurt me. It's a fear of he's so awesome and holy. I bow myself before him. And that's when life starts to be lived in the way that you really start. And we got to fight for this, loved one. I got to fight for this. But it's right here, the fruit of fear, submission. Then lastly, the fruit of respect. The fruit of respect is here, which verse 17 ends with honor the emperor. It's interesting that Peter seems to end where he began in verse 13. And he calls for a respect for the king or for the emperor. And notice he seems to be implying this, though. The emperor is on the same level of everyone else. Honor everyone. And then honor the emperor, same word, same thing. So it seems like, you know, the king's not so special. The prime minister, you know, honor him, but he's not God, man, all right? And the president of whatever, he's just like everyone else, right? He's just a man or she's just a woman. It's interesting, Wayne Grudem does this. I found this very helpful. It's what seems to be, Peter seems to be doing. Fear God is at the top of this pyramid. Love the brotherhood then is secondly of most important. And then we have the honor of people. They're all important, but we see this is where it starts, the love for the family of God. And then we see the respect that we are to give among all people. And I love that. Whether it's the people or whether it's the emperor, it's the same thing in some ways. Honor is to be given. So submission. Submission is subject to authority. Submission ultimately serves God. And submission, it is fruit. And it will bear fruit. And remember this, loved ones, remember this. I end with this. It is all under the will of God. It is all guaranteed to be God's will. Submission is beautiful to God. Submission needs to be beautiful to us. Isn't God's word great? God's word's great, isn't it?
You're listening to Live in the Light with Robbie Simons. If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard in Oakville, Ontario. Our postal code is L6L6X9. Our prayer is that people are impacted by Living the Light. They would be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.